Hello and welcome to GSW Confusion. That's right, folks. We're taking a slight deviation from our usual meanderings about Major League Wrestling and checking out Global Syndicate Wrestling. Got word that I should go check this out, and I need some extra content. And they are having they were having their global festival the previous weekend, a two-night event. This will be night one, and then night two will be somewhere down the road later on this week. So they have a big event, and I was asked to check them out, so I'm going to do that. It looks like a pretty stacked card, night one, featuring some stars from MLW, which is the primary reason why this came my way, was there's a lot of crossover between Major League Wrestling and the Global Syndicate Wrestling. Without too much further ado, let's check this out, see how the show goes, and I'll give you my thoughts on it, just like, you know, the regular show, except we're not talking about Major League Wrestling. Alright, our opening contest this evening is a battle of the days of the week. We have MLW star Richard Holiday taking on Will Alday. And this will be a recurring theme throughout the show. Like, I watch a lot of wrestling, but I don't have my eyes everywhere. So obviously I know who Richard Holiday is, the AirPod God, you know, dynastic. I'm not quite as familiar with Will Alday, so let's see what he's bringing to the table. Holiday is out first. He gets the mic, gives his usual spiel about breathing in rarefied air when we're in his presence. He really puts over the crowd, the show, but ultimately doesn't care how the fans feel. He notes that he's met Will Alday before. Alday gave him a hat, and he was disgusted by it for three reasons. One, said hat is ugly. Two, he does not wear hats. And three, he feels like Alday was trying to butter him up and bribe him with said hat. So, Holiday is not happy. Let's see what he does about it. Alday shows up. He's got some great babyface fire on going on. He starts the match with some wrestling, really tries to wear Holiday down. Holiday is much larger than Alday. It's one of those things that's really easy to forget watching wrestling, like how big certain guys are just because of who they wrestle, and seeing Holiday in a more traditional indie context, like Holiday's kind of a big dude. Like, you don't think of him as a hoss, but yeah, he just kind of towers over and is definitely the power man of the two guys. Speaking of power, Holiday proves his power by doing a pop-up cutter on Holiday, gets a two count, counters a running attack for another two count into a big slam. Alday, though, hits a DDT, starts his comeback, but gets cut off short, essentially, because Holiday, ever the ring general, rolls out of the ring, but he gets dived upon, because, of course, this is independent wrestling. We gotta have at least one dive per match. Inside the ring, Alday hits an ugly-looking moonsault press for two. And not that the moonsault itself was ugly, but, like, the way he caught Holiday, I don't know if Holiday just wasn't in position for it, but he just got kind of clobbered in the head with Alday's knees. But he's still going, so it's all good. Thumb to the eye, though, stops that run and brings the advantage back to Holiday. Torture rack for a wee bit. Love me a torture rack. But instead of getting a submission, Holiday turns it into a neckbreaker, gets a two count. Alday comes back despite all this, hits a move. Locally, it's called Ride the Lightning, but it's a variation of, like, go to sleep, except you kind of, like, spin the guy out closer to, like, an F5 and into the knee. But following the Ride Lightning, he hits his big finisher, the autograph super kick, but it is not enough to get Holiday out of the match. Holiday gets his foot under the rope. It looked like it was three, but the ref waved off the three count. The match continues. Alday goes up to the top again, hits a diving guillotine, but that gets countered into the 2008 stock market crash for the win for Richard Holiday. A very solid opener between Holiday and Alday. Get the crowd going, see what we're in for the evening. So, like, that's all well and good. I could watch Holiday, well, all day, no pun intended, and all day himself, you know, showed that he could go. So I was impressed, this being the first time I've seen him. He has some great babyface fire, you know, and outside of a couple of, like, ugly spots, which, let's face it, happened to the best of wrestlers. Like, it was a pretty solid match to get the crowd going. So, so far so good. I'm excited to see where this card goes. But where it's going now is the one of the first title matches of the evening. It is the Dream Openweight Championship featuring Wrecking Ball Ligursky taking on Young Dumb and Broke's Charlie Tiger. I have no clue who either of these guys are. So, no, you know, my expectations shall be untainted. Charlie Tiger is part of the Young Dumb and Broke stable. I forget who all's in it, except for the name Jordan Oliver popped up. And those of you who've listened to the show know my long-running history with Jordan Oliver, so no wonder why they're Young Dumb and Broke. There's Jordan Oliver in the group. Anywho, moving on. Ligursky's a big dude in himself, pushing 400 pounds, kind of is rocking a Bam Bam Bigelow kind of look, except without the head tats. But, like, he wears a bodysuit with, like, they're shaped like flames, but they're bricks, because, you know, he's a wrecking ball, you know, or only breaking hearts, I guess. Is that how the song goes? I'm not up on my Miley Cyrus either, you know, and also, I'm not up on my timely Miley Cyrus jokes. But never mind that. We has match. Really, the big story here is just Charlie Tiger doing whatever he can to wear the big man down. Bell doesn't even ring, and Charlie just, like, runs out of the ring and starts clubbering Tony on the big Ligursky. And, like, that's kind of the theme we get throughout a lot of the match. It's just, like, he's punching, he's kicking, he's chopping, he's using his entire body as a weapon. We'll, you know, see later on. And that's the thing, is just, like, and then Ligursky just trying to get some separation between the two guys so he can catch his breath and kind of formulate whatever game plan he has. But they brawl outside the ring to start the match. And by brawl, I mean mostly Ligursky gets clubbered. They come inside, and we finally get the bell to ring. Match is officially on. Again, Charlie's hitting so many strikes. Wrecking Ball does what he can to push away. We do get a frog splash by Charlie 4-2. We did get, like, this interesting little, like, cross body count that only got one. Ligursky does the Undertaker style sit up, just kind of, like, pops up, and then Charlie just freaking launches himself, just, like, I don't know, hip attack style into Wrecking Ball's back. And I thought, like, that was interesting. Just because, like, so many things look choreographed in wrestling. This is my sidebar. So many things in wrestling definitely look choreographed. And we all know that, you know, or at least I hope we all know that, you know, wrestling is staged. It is not a real combat sport. But moves like this, like, even when they're done safely, like, it's ugly looking. And it really makes it, you know, wrestling look like it's not, you know, a collaboration between the competitors in the ring, which was kind of refreshing. And just seeing, and then on the story front, seeing Charlie, like, being just, like, so desperate to keep Wrecking Ball down, just, like, I don't know what else to do. Wah! Just launch himself that way. But ultimately, it is all for naught. Wrecking Ball gets the space he needs, mounts his big comeback, drops a big elbow, and gets the 1-2-3. He retains the Dream Openweight title. And, you know, I can mock his look or whatever, but the dude's over with the crowd. And this match, however simple it could be, which simple's never bad, told a great story of just the plucky, I don't want to use the term underdog, because I don't like underdog heels, but just the smaller competitor just doing whatever he can to keep the big man down, and then the big man, you know, eventually just shrugging it off and squishing him anyway. So, you know, shorter match, solid story being told, you know, it's all good. Though I'm curious to see what the Wrecking Ball can do with some guys his own size, which we might get to see on night two when he's scheduled to take on TNA/Impact's Moose, so that should be fun. And then, like, what is this Young Dumb and Broke thing going on? Like, I should probably, like, see what's going on that front too. But you know, that's for another night. Like, right now, we got the Global Festival to watch, and we got, like, six more matches, like, to cover, so let's get on that. Up next is Robert Martyr and Jacob Fatu. If you've been paying attention to your Major League Wrestling, both these guys are in the company. Obviously, Jacob Fatu is your World Heavyweight Champion, so, like, he is the unofficial face of the company at the moment. You know, one of the crown jewels of the Contra stable. And then there's Robert Martyr, who, at least in MLW, lives up to his name because he's usually used in squash matches that last less than a minute. So, can he last more than a minute with Jacob Fatu? Let's find out. Alright, Fatu comes out. He is not impressed with Martyr. I'm going to censor this just so I don't have to get that dreaded E rating, because, let's face it, the E rating sometimes cuts the money, and right now I needs all the monies I can get. But Fatu is going to F this B up, of course. And we will see. I mean, odds are he's going to do it because he's like three times Martyr's size, so even if Martyr gets a victory, oh, he's going to F that B up. Anyway, Martyr tries to wrestle. Like, he really does. And when I say try to wrestle, it's not like, oh, like, he's not good. It's more like, dude's small, and Jacob Fatu is not. So Martyr tries to go, you know, work over the body parts, try to take the big man down, and Fatu just slaps the taste out of his mouth. Repeatedly. A lot of this early match is just Fatu just wiping the floor with Martyr, using his size advantage. Fatu eventually misses a shoulder tackle. Martyr gets a small package for two. Obviously, it was not wicked enough. He had not been going to the Beer Baron school of small packages. Martyr does get the fight back. Unfortunately, goes for a cross body and just bounces right off Fatu. Fatu misses the springboard moonsault, and this is kind of where Martyr gets a chance to shine. I was impressed. They let him go, and turns out he can go. He's a little wrestle machine when he's allowed to be. Really working over Fatu's arm. Fatu is much too powerful, but, like, does a lot of damage. Fatu spears the ring post, further damaging the arm. Gets followed through with the divorce court, the single arm DDT, and an enziguri. Somehow, some way, Martyr hits a big overhead suplex on Fatu. Like, that is probably the most impressive spot of the match, just because, again, the size differential between the two. Martyr continues his hot, fiery comeback with a Panama Sunrise Canadian Destroyer variation, but after that, runs right into a super kick. Fatu pops him up into the Samoan drop. 1, 2, 3, your winner, MLW World Heavyweight Champion Jacob Fatu. And, like, kind of like the previous match, like, it was really, you know, the story of the small guy trying to overcome the much larger competitor. But in terms of alignments, the roles were reversed. So I feel it did, you know, work out a bit better for the story. And just, like, so you had the big guy dominating the little guy and the plucky underdog making his comeback. And, you know, I personally didn't think it was going to happen. And obviously it didn't, but, like, there were a couple spots where I'm like, oh, if the dude locks in something, like, we could get an upset, you know, just get a nice little armbar or something in there. One of Chris Jericho's, you know, 50 variations of armbar. We could have gotten an upset. But alas, that was not to happen tonight. Jacob Fatu, your victor. Our next match is going to be women's action. This is the Global Cup semifinals. Masha Slamovic and Trisha Dora. Never seen either of these two either. I know Masha pops up into my Twitter feed periodically. People seem to like what she's up to. And I've heard the name Trisha Dora too, like, come through the grapevine. Again, haven't seen anyone, so, you know. Once again, like, so far the show's been great. So I'm excited to see what we got going on here. Masha is straight out of the Soviet bloc. Trish Adora is the Afro-punk. And there is no respect to be had by Masha. She refuses the handshake. Trish, though, if you're not going to get respect, she's going to, you know, tie you in a knot to get it. Grapples, tries to work the arm, is neat because she held, like, a front face lock, and Masha tried to, like, kind of, like, gator roll her way out of it. And instead of, like, letting go of the hold or getting countered, Trish hit, like, a modified, like, cartwheel and hung on to the front face lock. I thought that was mildly interesting. I'm not sure if I've seen that before, and if I have, it's been a bit, and this just really stuck out for me, so I thought that was really cool. Masha gets sent outside the ring, takes a break, you know, just stalls, wanders around the ring, and then due to this break gets to take advantage once she gets back into the ring. Adora makes a comeback though with a big backbreaker and a stack of hip attacks into the corner. We get a sit out powerbomb 4-2. Adora goes for the cattle mutilation. You don't see this move terribly often, not since the halcyon days of Bryan Danielson and, you know, whatever happened to that kid. You know, one of wrestling's great mysteries, whatever happened to Bryan Danielson. But Misha gets out and hits, honestly, like, one of the hardest German suplexes, like, I have ever seen. Like, most, like, German suplexes are either just, you just kind of launch the guy or girl, or kind of go for the pinfall with it, and Masha just kind of uses it as just like a straight up suplex, just dumps her on her back, does, you know, get a bridge in there, but it is not enough, like, but like, that has some stink on it, man. Adora comes back with a snap angle slam for a two count, but unfortunately, after much fighting, Masha hits the package pile driver for the win. She moves on to the finals of the Global Cup. And she will be either taking on Vicious Vicky or Allison Kay, who both those competitors we'll see later on in the show. Masha has no love for Vicious Vicky. She's like, I've already beat her. Like, I'm interested in Allison Kay. Up next is our match for the Next Generation Championship. This is like one of the most hyped matches on the card, and one of the only matches to really get its own video package. It is the Next Gen Champion Gio Galvano taking on Austin Aries. And the Next Gen Championship is kind of the, you know, the Young Lion kind of title. Though Young Lion's probably not the best term, because he's got, Gio's got some, you know, experience under his belt. I mean, not a whole lot, but like, he's not like fresh out of wrestling school or whatnot. But, kind of the story is that Aries and Galvano, were on the opposite sides of a tag team match. Aries pinned Gio, and now Gio really wants to prove himself. And Austin's like, cool, I'll sit you under the learning tree, but, you know, I don't work for free. Why don't you put that title on the line? And Gio being the fighting champion, he is totes accept, so we are going to has match tonight. So our challenger is out first and giving me COVID, followed by our plucky young champion, Gio Galvano. There was an extended feeling out process, the two just kind of going back and forth, exchanging holds. But really, like, you're not going to out wrestle Austin Aries. So he takes advantage early. Gio does attempt to pick up the pace. But Aries is like, outmaneuvers it, kind of, you know, catches him sleeping, if you will. Gio does come back with a lot of rope bouncing forearms for the corner, so like running back and forth, wasting a lot of energy as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it seemed to work, and he gets a springboard leg drop also for his efforts. Gio goes up top, but Aries dives into the ropes to crotch Gio, so allowing Aries to get the advantage back. Aries really starting to work over an arm, using the ropes to wear down said arm. Gio does come back with a crossbody for two, but Aries just pops right up and clotheslines him out of his boots. Action spills outside. We get a double sledge. Austin goes back up top. Gio repays the crotching also by hitting the ropes. We get a nine punch, a bite, and then a superplex. Doesn't get a chance to go for the cover though. Big kick by Gio gets a two count just because it took him forever to prep the pin properly. Like, he was trying to get Aries in the like perfect position and just wasted too much time. Aries goes out to catch a breather. Gio dives on him. Inside the ring, Gio hits a diving bulldog for two. Aries comes back with a last chancery. It looks like it could be over, but Gio gets to the ropes. Brainbuster by Ares. Again, we go to the ropes. That's kind of a recurring theme for this match and the show in general. Lots of rope breaks. Ares is not happy with this and starts jawjacking with the referee. He gets hit by an elbow from behind, and then we get a ref bump. And this ref bump is just kind of notable because I think this is the first time I've seen a female referee take a ref bump from a male. I mean, it's not like they did anything like sexist to it. It's just kind of like, huh, they did it. Cool. But yeah, Ares just kind of yoinked her in the way, and she got clobbered just like every other referee. Ares goes out and gets the next-gen belt. Misses the belt shot, walks into a big spin kick. Geo threatens to use the belt, but the ref wakes up to see this, yoinks the belt away. Ares hits a low blow and gets a two count off of it. Ares now is very upset. He actually goes to brainbuster the referee, which, honestly, like, as much as it disgusts me to say it, like, made me very happy. Like, just ref abuse just makes me happy because all referees are ultimately biased and sometimes need to be put in their place. Usually not with a brainbuster, so I'm not sure if I can condone that. But when Ares gets the ref up in the brainbuster, Geo hits him with a low blow. We get a big knee, and Geo retains. And it's a really solid match. Like, I big name versus, like, relative unknown guy, and sometimes you really don't know what to expect. But, you know, say what you want about Austin Aries. Like, he can help tell, like, a very good story. And this is just another case of it. Really, like, it was going to the learning tree, which Aries references several times in, like, the video package and then in the mic here momentarily. But it really kind of, like, the story of this match basically was, like, Ares would do something, and then Geo would do it again later on in the match in terms of, like, we'll call it smart veteran maneuvers. I mean, we got, like, crotching on the top rope, the low blow, etc., where basically Geo saw these things. So, like, okay, he now knows, he now is going to, you know, remember to use that in his repertoire. You know, so, you know, good solid match between the back and forth. And then again, like, I mean, the one big potential turnoff was, it could be like the intergender action. Well, we'll call it action. But the intergender ref abuse, and I just say this because I know some folks aren't into intergender violence. A lot of folks aren't a big fan of men fighting the women and vice versa. So, you know, that could be a sticking point. Like, personally, it doesn't bother me. I mean, it fit in with the story. It's not like he did anything just because she was a woman or anything like that. It just happened to be a ref, and you go squish. But anyway, after the match, Ares gets the mic. You know, he notes that Geo did not win the match. He earned this match, so he's gotten Ares' respect. You know, the next generation is in good hands with Geo, and he now, like, has spent a lot of years, by he meaning Ares, has spent a lot of years trying to make people hate him, and he feels like he's done way too good a job of that, and it's time for everyone to get to know the real Austin Ares. So whatever that exactly means going forward in his career, who knows? But we're going to get to meet the real Austin Aries, I guess. Austin leaves, lets Geo Galvano have the microphone, and really just notes that this is the biggest moment of his young career, which, I mean, arguably it is. I'm not familiar with his career. I'm not sure, you know, who else he's wrestled. But a win over Austin Aries is nothing to sneeze at, honestly. And he thanks the crowd for their support and moves on his merry little way. All right, we are going to take a brief pause for the cause, get some snacks, or actually preferably, like, listen to these ads, and then maybe even follow through with them. That'd be great. We'll be back in one moment.
Now, whether you're someone who works out, or, like me, needs to maintain focus and mental clarity, we could all use a pick-me-up. That's where Raise Energy steps in. With Refresh technology, Raise provides a hydrating, sugar-free boost of energy without the crash some other energy drinks have. You can find out where you can get Raise Energy near you by visiting www.repsports.com, and while you're there, check out the other products that Rep offers, such as pre- and post-workout supplements and snacks. And if you want some extra savings, order online and apply my discount code CASS, that's C-A-S-S, at checkout for 15% off your order.
All right, we are moving into the last little chunk of the show. We got two big matches left. The first, and the one we're going to obviously review next, is the other Global Cup semifinal match with Allison Kay taking on Vicious Vicky. The winner of this match will take on Masha Slamovich tomorrow night. Well, in theory, you know, tomorrow night, obviously. I've recorded this at least the next day and probably posted it on the internet a couple days after that. But, you know, the next card, next show, maybe 24 hours after, yeah, we'll face Masha Slamovich for the Global Cup semifinal. We get a feeling out process with Allison Kay, Vicious Vicky, going back and forth. Kay is overconfident. It does noogies. We missed the noogies on Vicky. Vicky comes back with the head scissors and a big drop kick. Kay dumps Vicky over the top rope. And in a scary moment, as Vicky goes over, she wedges her arm between the top and middle rope. And kind of catches herself briefly, which is scary. Like, those ropes aren't elastic. They're either cable or rope, depending on, you know, who you work for. And to do a spot like that without it being planned, like, can do some serious damage to your body. But luckily, she appears to be okay. Vicky seems okay. Gets out pretty quick, holds her arm briefly, and goes back to kind of, like, selling her back and whatnot. So that's good. We have an extended brawl outside the ring, and eventually, like, Kay, it's mostly Kay doing choppings and whatnot, but Vicky makes a comeback with a lot of chops of her own until she gets choked by the microphone cable outside the ring. They go back inside. Allison Kay maintains control, just kind of grinding away with like, wear-down submissions, most notably a straitjacket hold. Vicky does try to make a comeback, but Kay hits a big lariat and sends Vicky to the outside. Vicky comes in after a schoolgirl, hits a DDT, but not enough to get the victory. Kay counters into the Kimura, a Kimura lock. Gets the submission victory over Vicious Vicky. Shorter match of the card. And I don't know. I wasn't entirely feeling this match, despite being a fan of Allison Kay and her work. I once again didn't do my due diligence, so I'm not really familiar with Vicious Vicky and who she is. But, like, I don't know. She never really seemed to get, like, out of first gear, like, and just kind of seemed, like, awkward in some of her, like, bigger spots. Like, as long as she was, like, chopping and kind of playing up things, like, she was good. But, like, I don't know. Maybe it was her footwork. Maybe her footwork was off. I don't know. Something just wasn't clicking there. And it seemed to be more at her end, because it seemed like Kay was doing what she could to kind of, like, bump her tail off for Vicky in those offensive spots. But, you know, it just, as I said, just didn't seem to work. After the match, though, Kay gets interviewed about her match tomorrow night, but gets attacked by Slamovich for her efforts. They have a brawl. They get pulled apart by security. Security kind of gets taken out at various points by Slamovich, but we do get them separated. So we're all cool. No major injuries. Cool. Let's lock them up. Don't let them touch each other, because evidently this is nitroglycerin, baby. Anywho, moving on, it is time for our main event of the evening. It is for Global Syndicate Wrestling's World Heavyweight Championship, and it features the world champion, ya boy, Alexander Hammerstone, taking on Steve Macklin, Mr. Mayhem, with Skip Valentine. So we got some beefy boys in here. This match should be fun. Hammerstone, of course, is MLW Open National, the National Openweight Champion, and has held that title since its inception. Macklin was probably best known as Steve Cutler in the WWE as a member of the Forgotten Sons group with Jackson Ryker and Wesley Blake, and was part of the Pandemic releases, all 150 of them. And now he is, you know, kind of making him say a name for himself, mostly in Impact Wrestling, as Mr. Mayhem, Steve Macklin. And Skip Valentine, I have no clue who that dude is, but he's got himself a posse, so you gotta respect that. And really, like, I've never, this is another case where, like, even, like, with the holiday match, like, I didn't realize how big Macklin was. Like, I mean, he was, you know, pretty built, but, like, I don't know, seeing him in the ring with a guy like Hammer, who, like, I know his dimensions pretty well, and, like, Macklin's a pretty big dude, too, so, gonna be fun. Hoss fight. Love me a Hoss fight if you've caught this show before. Anyway, we start off wrestling. I know, crazy, wrestling in a wrestling show. But really, like, Hammer's trying to keep the belt. Like, yeah, they don't like each other, but Hammer's trying to keep the belt. Macklin is trying to prove himself. And they put this over in commentary that the rest of Valentine's group is sent away. Like, they're not at ringside, so it's just Valentine. So Macklin's really trying to show, like, that he is worthy of the title, which, good on him. It's good to see a heel who's part of his gimmick is that, like, I'm the best, I know I'm the best, and so he's just really cocky because he can back it up in the ring. So we have this feeling out process, a lot of, like, actual wrestling going on back and forth. The pace quickens, surprisingly. I mean, of course, we know Hammer can go, but once the pace quickens, you know, Macklin is the one that gets on top. Hammer, though, brings the power, brings the pain, though both of them bring the pain. We brawl outside the ring where Macklin takes control. So just a lot of liberal use of the ref count. Like, the ref is like AEW levels of not counting at this point. But they both make their way back into the ring, and Macklin works over Hammer's lower body, the lower back, lower midsection, you know, working over that core, because if you work over the core, it hurts, you can't pick guys up, and Hammer's big finish, the Nightmare Pendulum, starts out as a vertical suplex. So he's gotta get a guy up to hit that big move. Macklin just talks trash as Hammer tries to come back. We get a sunset flip for two, so unfortunately, Flip Sunset is going to be mildly disappointed that that did not finish off the match. Just a two count. Skip Valentine, sorry, blanked on his name there for a moment, kind of interferes, and Macklin is not happy with it. He kind of has words with Valentine. Unfortunately, this yakking out outside the ring allows Hammerstone to make his comeback. Macklin, though, hits a scoop slam neckbreaker combo thing for a big two count. Unfortunately, it does not last for long. We get a big superplex by Hammerstone. Unfortunately, he's too injured to make a proper cover. Both men recover at the same time, and we are going to get it. Can you hear me, like, pound the desk here? Yeah. We gotta have a Hoss fight now. They trade strikes, forearms back and forth, and just, like, yell at each other. They then move on to, like, big slams, which the other no-sells. The stereo clotheslines where they just thump into each other, nobody does anything. Hammer, though, gets the advantage with a German suplex, followed up by a sit-out powerbomb. Only gets two, though. Macklin's running buddies come out at this point and distract the referee. Skip Valentine gets the belt, comes in, takes a swing at Hammer, misses, and takes out Macklin. Hammer takes this opportunity to hit the Nightmare Pendulum, and your boy, Alexander Hammerstone, foregone conclusion, once you get the Nightmare Pendulum in play, 1, 2, 3, match is over. Your boy Hammer, still Global Syndicate Wrestling Champion. Solid match between the two. I mean, just, this was just a fight, plain and simple. And obviously, like, my favorite match of the card. I mean, maybe not the best match of the card, but it's definitely my favorite, because I do have a soft spot for Hoss's just beating the snot out of each other, and frankly, that's what these two did. So I was a happy boy, and, like, say what you want about Macklin in the WWE, like, this is kind of his gimmick now, where he's just gonna beat you up, and, you know, the boy brought it, and had to take it as well. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, you gotta wake up pretty early to get one over on Alexander Hammerstone, and so, you know, not today, but solid match between the two, and our show kind of ends with Macklin and Valentine kind of, you know, not happy with each other. But that is Global Syndicate Wrestling, Global Festival Night 1. Very solid show. And it was very enjoyable. Indie wrestling in the best way possible. You know, I'm not going to use indie as, like, a derogatory term because, like, I'll face it. Like, I watch more smaller companies than I do, like, the WWE or AEW. Outside of Major League Wrestling, of course, and, you know, you could argue how big a company MLW really is. But, like, this was indie in the best way possible. Just a lot of solid action, you know. Every match fit a narrative. Every match told a story. You know, and even, you know, the Allison Kay Vicious Vicky match, which I wasn't feeling, it was by no means terrible. And even if it, like, wasn't great, it's served its purpose to kind of help build the Kay Masha Slamovich match tomorrow night. So that is night one. We will also be reviewing night two here in the next few days. Can't catch it live, unfortunately, but heck, honestly, by the time this gets released to the general public, like, I'd watched it already, so it'll be fine. But yeah, so thank you guys for listening, and, you know, since we're deviating from the norm anyway, but, like, anyone has any, like, suggestions for me to branch out and check out some other wrestling, I will be all ears. If you're a promoter and want just some extra plugs and have me review your show on my show, you know, drop me a line, you know, and, you know, we'll call it commission. Like, I'll do your commission. Like, that's just fine. Just, you know, make sure I have access to it and whatnot. We can talk turkey. You know, hit me up on the social media. You know, check out my email, which is also in the links. You know, and it'll be fun. I mean, I love all sorts of wrestling, and I will watch all of the wrestling, let's face it. So, thank you for reaching out, Global Syndicate Wrestling. We'll catch night two here in a bit. And thank everyone else for listening along, and I will see you all next time. Thank you for listening to MLW Confusion. MLW Confusion is written and narrated by Rob Kammer, but is not affiliated with Major League Wrestling. The opening theme is written and performed by Rob Kammer, and what you are listening to right now is Ruined My Day by Alan L. Schroeder. If you enjoyed the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Also, be sure to tell your friends, family, and enemies about the show. Word of mouth is very important to us small businesses. You can also get up to date with the thoughts and ramblings at the social media at the links in the description. If you'd like to support monetarily and help out, and upgrade our equipment too, by the way, you can in the following ways. First, our virtual tip jar is at www.kofi.com/casanova. That is CASSONOVA. Or, for more bang for your buck, join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/casanova. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to MLW Confusion early and ad-free, plus get weekly exclusive goodies. So be like the OGs, Maverick45 and Alan Schroeder, and check that out! Also, for your energy, sleep, and workout needs, check out repsports.com and use the coupon code CASS at checkout to get 15% off your order.